to praise. Wasn't that good praise? Good job, team. That was a great, great job of praise. Yeah. Building. No. I've got my glasses on today. Did you notice I got my glasses on today? Helen told me I look good in even glasses. I said, well, I'm pretty in anything. Huh? And my eye's better, but I can't put my contacts in until Tuesday. So it's better. Thank you for asking and remembering. It's kind of like my wife this morning. She rode to church with me, and she said, I'm going to come, and I'm not going to wash my hair. It won't look awesome as it usually does. See, I think we just need to think we're good wherever we are. You know, God made you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God, and I think whoever you are and whatever you look like and whatever you're doing, I think you should enjoy that, you know, instead of griping about what you're not and stuff. And so, because that's what love's about, isn't it? You know, we love our children in spite of all of their failures and faults and flaws. We love our children. You know, they're our children. That's the way God looks at us. He said He loved you and created you in His image and made you special and unique and gave you the only fingerprint that you have, the only one like that in the world. And He loves you right where you are. And that's why He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We're talking about a love that lasts this morning. And so He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And the reason He wants you to keep His commandments is not about He's a control freak or something. What he's wanting to do is get us lined up with His will and obedience so He can bless us. And so we can walk in light. How many knows it's just a lot better walking in light than it is in darkness? We could turn the lights off and say, everyone exit, please. And how many knows there'd be some trouble and chaos in the building because we can't see. We'd be tripping over chairs. We'd hear, I'm sure we wouldn't hear cuss words, but we'd hear something come out. No, I'm not sure. One of our leaders said today, God walked with him hand in hand and told him to quit cussing. I said, you cuss? He said, well, not much. So, you know, I mean, we all have our things, right? And so, but to enjoy where you are, that's what loving God and loving people is about. Just enjoying where you are in this stage in your life. And it's different. You know, your babies grow up, but I enjoyed our babies, you know, get to go through that with our kids and stuff, and you'll go through that, and then they'll go up, they grow up, and then they'll get their own families, and they'll move away, you know. Ferguson's saying happy day. Yeah. But you know what? You enjoy that, and then you'll enjoy the next phase. It's all good. It's really good. Yesterday we went over to to Dave and Renee Kirby's and saw their new house, and some of you came by and just it, beautiful house, you know. Beautiful house, beautiful acreage, and Dave and them worked hard and enjoying the fruits of their labor. See, I love to see that, where people will enjoy the fruits of their labor. And so wherever you are, let me just encourage you to say, you know what, get a loving attitude that says, I'm going to enjoy this part of my life. Don't wait until you're, you know, as soon as this happens, I'm going to be, boy, it's going to be good. No, it's good today. This is a day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. See, that's the attitude that he tells us to have from the Scripture. So, just a little encouragement for you today to be happy where you are. Enjoy the rain while it's here. About July or August, we'll be saying, man, I wish it rained. And then we could just remember back here on the 20-something of February that it was a good rainy day and soaking up the soil. And so, enjoy each day as it comes. Everybody have your sword? We're going to learn some things today that I'm excited about that I think will help us grow a little bit. Some of us will say, ouch, and all, but that's okay. That's what helps us grow, isn't it? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can go where it says I can go. Even Guatemala. Our team's getting ready to leave for Guatemala, and we want you to be very prayerful for them as they go. And we got enough money almost already to do two widows' houses. Isn't that awesome? I tell you, let me brag on you guys just for a minute. Our elder came, Philip, and said that around this time last year, I think God wants to challenge us to drill a well for a village in Africa. We'll never, probably most of us will never go there. But how many knows the Holy Spirit's there, and they're there. And so we took that challenge, and about before the end of the year, we $4,800 came in, and now we are responsible for a well in Africa. In fact, when you go out this door, Eric put a picture, or someone did, out on the hallway, and it's got little kids gathered around one of the wells that has been drilled, and they're just enjoying that fresh, clean water. Something we go over to the tap and just turn and think nothing of it. We think something if the water don't come out. Electric's off, this is terrible, electric's off. And they do that every day, but now they're pumping their well and the water's coming out and big smiles on their face. And then we're given a challenge this year to help with four widows' homes, and we've already raised enough for two. And now some of the team needs a little help, so they'll give you a little more info on that. But be prayerful about that, and if you can't go, you could at least send 100, 200, 500 and help somebody to go where God said they could go. And be a representative of that. If you have your Bible, turn with me to John, the 11th chapter. It's a real familiar scripture, but I want to show you some insight that we need today in our lives, and that it's really kind of new to me. I love getting new nuggets from the Word, and I feel like that's what happened as I was studying this part of this series on a love that lasts, and to looking at that. And I got a couple of things I want to talk about that love that lasts today. And it says in John 11, and then verse 1, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha." You remember Martha and Mary. That's where Jesus would go by. How many of you have a place where, if you're in a certain area, a home or an old community where you grew up, you can go by and get you a meal, a home-cooked meal. I know when I go to my mother, she's on a walker and got a feeding tube, but I know if I go to my mother's house, she's going to take her little walker and walk over to the thing. She's going to cook some beans and chocolate cake and all that stuff, especially if she knows her daughter-in-law's coming. They're just crazy about what's her name, Jana. Oh, she loves Jana, and then I come along with her, Tell Jana I'm going to get her some chocolate cake and beans. I'll have it on when she gets here. You know what I like, Mother? Hello? Hello? So that's just the way it is, but she's a blessing to my parents. But this is the way Jesus was. He would go by, and he knew that he could stop at Martha's house because she was going to have something ready for him. And remember the story where Martha was all busy, and I guess she was stressed out one day, and she said, she come in and really reamed Jesus out. She said, "Why don't you tell my sister to get up and help me? I'm in the kitchen all by myself." And Jesus was like, so he loves on her. He said, Mary's chosen the best part, and you just need to come sit down and chill out. That's kind of Oklahoma translation, so I'm sure she had a good cry and sat down. They all helped her. But this is, I just want you to remember who this is. This is somebody that he went by their house frequently when he was in that area, and they'd feed him and loved on him. And it says, verse 2, "It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet and her hair, with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." And so not only did they feed him, but they put costly oil on him, and they really catered his needs. I'm sure this was one of his favorite places to go when he was traveling, because he didn't have his own house. He said, "I don't even have a place to lay my head." And so this was some place where he felt comforted and loved and welcome when he came. And all of his needs were provided, and even beyond that. And doesn't it make you feel good when you go to someone's house like that? It may be your grandmother's or whomever, an old friend that loves to cook, but they just really cater to your needs. And that's what this was. And it said, "Therefore the sisters sent to Jesus, to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.'" He whom you love is sick. And said, when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death." How many knows Lazarus is going to die? You remember the story? But he says, "This sickness is not unto death." Now, why I point that out is because I want you to kind of put yourself, if you were one of his disciples, and we didn't know the story, and all of a sudden you just heard Jesus come out of his own mouth, he said that this sickness is not unto death. And so you're thinking, well, okay, he's not going to die. The Lord said, or Jesus Christ said, he's not going to die. So you've got that in your mind, in your thinking, and all of a sudden you're going to find out when you get there he's dead. That'd be a little confusing, wouldn't it? And then he kind of muddles it up a little more. And I'm not sure why Jesus does this, except for I believe that he doesn't give us clarity on like he. How many knows he could just speak to you if he wanted to? He could just speak clearly to you in audible voice. He's done that before. We see it in Scripture. But He don't do that. And sometimes, isn't that aggravating? Well, you spoke to Moses. How come you don't just speak to me? Clarify this mess. You ever felt like that? Anybody but me? Probably most of you have. You're just not brave enough to vocalize it. You know, you feel that, but you'd never say it because you're too holy or too afraid or something. I mean, knows He loves you and He sent His Son for you, and you can tell Him whatever you want, and it's not going to offend Him or make Him mad or hurt His feelings. He won't jump off the throne and start wringing His hands because one of His kids said something out of line. And it'd make you feel better if you'd just say what's on your heart. Don't you feel better when you just finally get to vocalize something that's been bothering you to someone and get it off your chest? Even if it's, you know, even if the weight from that, what you just said, is just washing everybody else away, you feel better. You know, at least I feel better. You know what I've been carrying now. And so He says, you know, that whom you love is sick. And I want you to remember that when he says they're sick, and then He says, but it's not unto death, and He says, then what is it for? What is it for? And He says, there's two things here that this is for. This sickness is not unto death, but for, everybody say, but for. Yeah. That candy bar on the kitchen counter is not you, but it's for Addie when she comes over. See. That apple pie is not before dinner, it's after dinner, you know, or whatever. I mean, but for. So, and you say, well, and we say this, you know, well, that sickness doesn't belong to you. Well, does it? Do you think this sickness belongs to Lazarus? It certainly seems like it to me. This sickness is not for unto death, but for, there's a purpose for this sickness, for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. There's a purpose in the sickness. And I know that kind of goes contrary to what some of us have been taught, but there's a purpose. But for, this sickness is for the glory of God and that Christ may be glorified through it. So there's two purposes here. And there's a bonus purpose. How many knows what the bonus purpose is here? When these good people that feed not only Jesus, but people all around in their community and love on people and have that kind of reputation, how many knows a lot of people is going to come and console them when Jesus comes and the glory moment comes? There's going to be a lot of Jewish people there that's going to believe in Jesus Christ because of this very moment, because of tragedy, because of difficulty. How many knows when people come around you and you're in your hour of need and your difficulty, it may be that God says, I need to use this because people's going to swarm around you and I'm going to get some glory out of it by lifting you up and raising you up. Just this week, my sister called and she was frantic. I was in my reading room studying and she called and she said, I need you to pray right now. That's about, I mean, just like that. She said, Butchie, her daughter, she said, she passed out. She was on the floor. She quit breathing. And they've got her in the ambulance and they're on the way to the hospital and I'm on my way to the hospital right now. And you need to pray right now. I said, is she breathing now? Just about that comma. Is she breathing now? Well, she's breathing now. She's breathing. I said, well, that's good. That's good. That's good. And you could feel her coming down, you know. I said, well, what was she doing? Well, she was on the floor and she was in. And I said, so, but she's breathing and she's in medical care now. And she's and I just began to try to sense what the Holy Spirit's saying in those kind of times. Because how many knows, just like it was when Lazarus died, when we're in a crisis mode and we're needing what God has, He will speak if we'll calm down and listen. But here's what we do. We're like Mary and Martha. We get so focused on the problem that we forget to listen to what God's saying in the crises. Because we're so focused because this is what's happening to me right now. Can you see me? I need to get my needs of prayer. And it's serious, and I'm not trying to make fun, but I'm just saying this is how we get. We get so focused on the problem that we can't even hear God's voice in the midst of when He's trying to talk to us. No one but Jesus knew what God wanted to do in this. No one. Not Mary, not Martha, not Lazarus. As far as we know, he's dead. He don't know. But no one, His disciples didn't know. No one had a clue. And I think that's why it said Jesus wept. And I think that's why He cried. Personally, that's what I believe. He cried because no one had an inkling that God was trying to do something great right here. And that's the way we are in a crisis mode a lot of times. We don't know what Jesus wants to do. Is Gage saying amen, or what is that? That's the first squawk I've heard out of that kid. And they put a bottle in his mouth. That's what that means. I'm hungry! So he says, this sickness is not just something that happened. It's not something the devil just instigated. This sickness is for the glory of God, that the Son of God through it may be glorified. Now, Jesus, verse 5, loved. Everybody say, Jesus loved. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You know what? A lasting love is the same regardless of the circumstances. You can take that to the bank. A love that lasts, a genuine love of God, it is the same in crisis, in good times and bad times. It does not waver. And if you have a friend or a family member or someone that their love is always wavering for you, that is not a God kind of love. That's a human, selfish kind of love that until they grow past that, or until we grow past that, will always be fluctuating with circumstances. But not a lasting love, not a God-type love, a love that lasts, not the kind that God shows to me and you. His love for me and you never fluctuates. Did you know that? Here they are, and they've sent word to Lazarus that your friend whom you love is sick, and we're going to find out in a minute, he's going to stay about two more days right where he is. And it's not going to be because he don't love him or his love has fluctuated in any way at all. Sometimes it's really kind of depressing, isn't it, when your friends look at you and say, if you really love me, or you hurt my feelings, you know, and you can tell they're just put off. And it's like, you know, but you know my heart's right for you, don't you? Don't you know that? By now that my heart is right for you? And how many knows when somebody accuses you of something, the first thing I do, and I think we should do, is examine your motive of your heart. If my heart is right, then I know it's not my problem. Now, if my heart says, well, you know, you do kind of push that, and you did kind of get, and then you need to deal with your heart first. But always, that's where I always start with, check my heart first. And if my heart's right and I've offended someone or somebody's poking at me, you know, and trying to shoot at me, then I examine that first, and if that's okay, then I know it's not my problem, it's theirs. But it is my problem because they're hurting. So I still own that part of the problem. See? That's a growth issue, isn't it? If you know your heart's right and you haven't done anything that you can, they verbalized it and you examine what they've said, they've accused you of, but you know you've examined your heart, you've taken it before the throne, and you say that, you know, I'm not guilty in that part. I might have done it ignorantly. I've told people before, you know, how I hurt you might have been out of ignorance, but I can tell you right now I didn't mean anything malicious at all. Because sometimes it is out of ignorance, isn't it? You just say something and it's ignorant, and so you have to fess up to that or glaze over it, however you want to deal with it. But it's best just to fess up and get it out. So yes, I did do that part, and I, out of a good friend of mine, in fact, it was my pastor one time when I started this church. There's a few people I discipled wanted to come with me, and they did, and it hurt his feelings, and he wasn't real happy about it, and I hate that for him. And finally, after a good space of time, just let him think about it and me, I went and apologized and said, you know, I can tell you for sure that I did not do anything maliciously to hurt you. And if I've done anything out of ignorance, I apologize. If I didn't handle something right the way it should have been, you know. But I can tell you from the sincerity of my heart. See, that's a lasting love. My love didn't change for him, and then I've had people that hurt me and do things, and I don't, you know, don't hold that, because that's not about them. That's about you. That's a lasting love. That grudge thing's not about others. It's about you. It's about you walking in darkness. This is what Jesus deals with his disciples about. Before we get into that, I want to show you, just to anchor you, go to Romans the 8th chapter. Romans the 8th chapter. And let's do a little anchoring before we finish the story about, and I'd like for you to get an anchor in your heart today. It says, you know what, this is who God is for you, and never doubt God's love for you again. How many be honest, say, you know, sometimes I've been through things that just, I think, God, do you really love me? You know, I felt like that before. you know, do you really love me? I mean, I prayed and I believed, and I lost a really close friend two or three years ago, and just really bothered me. It just really bothered me, and because he was, you know, 61 or so years old, and we'd done ministry for a long time together, and fish, hunt, you know, and just, he's a good friend. He's one of my cousins, but he's just a good friend. And we prayed, and God healed him, but it came back, and he didn't make it, and it just really, I had to wrestle with that. I thought, you know, and how many's ever felt like this? You know, you don't have to raise your hand, but I'm just saying, most of us are human, and so when God didn't answer something the way you thought He would, that He could get glory from, you really kind of aggravated you, and you thought, well, what's the use of praying? You know, most of us probably have felt that at some point. I can remember Summer when she was having seizures and praying for those years and fasting and doing all that I need to do, and it didn't come to pass. And they said, well, they'll come at a young age and leave these petty mal seizures and they'll go away in her teen years, and it happened. I can remember telling God, if you don't hurry up, you're not going to get any glory. She's almost a teenager. Guess how far that prompted God? Nothing. You can't bargain with God, but here's what you can know. You can know that God loves you regardless of where you are and what's going on. And you need to plant that in your heart that I don't care what's coming against me, what I've got going on in my life, God loves me. You know, I mean, you'd think it'd be enough just to say He sent His Son for you. What else do you need, huh? But we need more than that, don't we? When my sister called, I said, you know, after we talked the next day, and but she was okay, and I said, you know, she said, thank you for taking my call. I said, well, did you ever think about just calling Jesus? She said, brother, I did call Jesus. He said, call Jack. I said, oh, well, there you go. I'm trying to just make her, you know, not so self. I said, that's what Jana does. Anytime there's a crisis and I'm in earshot, Jack! And she said, well, I guess you're stuck with both of us then, aren't you? So get used to it. So anyway, but get in your spirit that, you know, that you're the apple of God's eye. And it doesn't matter what you're going through, and it doesn't affect His love toward you when He allows us to go through things, and it may be for His glory. He may allow you to go through something just like He did this guy for His glory. And it may also include, if you'll come through it properly, there may even be souls added to the equation for the glory of God. For the glory of God. So let's look at it at 8:28. Real familiar passage, but we need that in our hearts today. And we know that all things work together for good. Do you know that? Do you know that today? Do you know that? I mean, we say it, but do you know that all things work together for your good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose? See, He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my teachings, He said. And so He equates love with keeping His commandments and keeping His teachings. And now, if that were me saying to you, you know, Bob, if you will do everything I tell you to do, you're going to be my friend, all right? Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. As long as you keep all the commandments that I give you and you do all that, we're good to go, you know. And that's how I kind of looked at that first time I ever read that in the Scripture, where He said, you know, keep my commandments and then you're my friend, you know, you really love me. But here's what I missed, and here's what we missed. If I tell Bob, you keep all my commandments and we'll be buddies, then how many knows there's a selfishness on my part? Because I don't have Bob in mind. I have me in mind. You need to please me. But when Jesus looks at Bob and says, Bob, if you'll keep all my commandments and abide by my teachings, then you really love me. What He's saying is, this is going to be the best fit on the planet for you. This is where you'll walk in more light than you can ever walk in anywhere else. See, I can't provide light. I can just provide my selfish view. Jesus provides for Bob and Adam and Anna and Haley. He provides light for you when He says, walk in my teachings and be obedient and keep my commandments. He's thinking about you. Where if I gave that, I'd be thinking about me and what I want you to be. But God's saying, this is what I created you to be. All He's saying is, I want you to get on the path that I've laid out for you, and you'll be a happy camper. You'll be a happy camper. How many you found the path? You know, I'm on that path that God gave me, and I'm not perfect, but and I still got lots to learn. But I'm a happy camper, just walking along the path God gave me to walk. This is a good life. Because I found my niche and I'm doing what God called me to do, and it's a good path. For some of you that's just thinking, you know, there must be more to life than this, let me tell you something, there is. You gotta find the light God gave you to walk in and walk in that. Finding His will, it takes time alone with God. That's why Jesus knew everything that God was doing and no one else knew. No one else had a clue. And we're in one of those two groups. This is what God's doing in this situation and for my life, or you could be in the crew and say, God, what in the world is going on? What is this all about? And focus on the problem. So it says in verse 29, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. So the path is already laid out. The predestined part, plan, has already been laid out for you and me. That's a love that lasts. It says, I don't care if they take it or not. I'm going to lay it all out there for them, and they'll choose to get on that path and walk in it or not. But I love them so much, I'm going to lay it out there for them. It's available. How many knows your path and of light is available? Whether you choose to walk on it or not, that's up to you. But the path is available. He says, and He predestined, these He also called. He lets you know what your part is. Whom He called, He also justified. As we're walking in that, and we're not perfect, and we make many mistakes, but He said, it's just as if you had not ever sinned. You're justified. Because you're in His place. You're in. You know, when our kids are obedient, isn't that a good place at home? When the kids are walking, and you know, you told them to take out the trash is taken out. When you told them to pick up the room is picked up. But if you told them to take out the trash and pick up the room, and they're sitting there, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, playing their little games, you know. Life is not good, is it, at home? Because they're not walking in obedience. They're walking in selfishness, self-centeredness, which affects the whole household. Yeah. And He's saying, when you find, my children find their path, their predestined path, they get on that, the path I've called them to, they're justified. And then He didn't stop there. He said, if you're not only justified, but these He also glorified. So He wants to, and the reason He wants to put light in you is so you can be light to whomever's around you in your sphere of influence. I did get a good report on you the other day. They said, Al, when you guys were volunteering or going down to the Ford Center, they said, you are some kind of light down there.
Amen.
Yeah. Here's something. I don't have to mention this, but I want to. My pastors came up to me months ago before they started doing this. Said, we want to do some volunteer work out the arena, Ford Center, and said, is this a problem? They may have us serving beer sometimes. I said, well, it's not a problem to me. Is it a problem to you? And they said, no. I said, well, that's not a problem. And they use this money to help go on their mission trips. But here's what I know. Some Christian would say, well, they shouldn't be doing that. Well, why don't you give them the money and they won't have to? Just write a check. How many if they just write a check, you just wouldn't go work extra to go on a mission trip? Yeah. So quit being so stinking holy and say, well, go God, you know. Hey, just a thought here. Just to read out all those self-righteous people. You won't be back next week and we won't have to mess with you anymore. We love you and we hope you get free, but we don't have to mess with you no more. He said, verse 30, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, woo, if God is, how many knows God is for you? I don't care what it looks like. God is for you. Look over at your neighbor and say, do you know God's for me? Oh, God is for you. If God is for you, now who's He for? He's to the ones that are walking according to their calling. That's who He's for. Now, when you're not walking according to your calling, the fellowship is going to lack. The love will still be there, but the fellowship's going to lack and the light is going to go dim. It's affecting you. That's why God hates it when His children walk in disobedience, because of what it does to you, not because of what it does to Him. You need to get that. He's not mad at you. He hurts for you. There's a difference, isn't there? When my son was little, you could just kind of look at him, and he hated for us to be mad at him. Are you mad at me? Yes, I am. You know, that didn't work with Summer. You know, like, get over it. If you're mad at me, get over yourself. So guess what she got? She got a whooping. What about that? Does that hurt? Yeah, that hurts. Well, we'll do that for you. That's the way God is. Some of His children need whipping. Some of them need discipline. Some of them... Addie said the other day, we fed them dinner Friday night. She said, I had two timeouts today. I said, what'd you do? Nothing. That's the way some of you are. What'd you do? Well, I didn't do anything, man. It's all stuff come on me. You're still talking like a four-year-old. That's your problem. Addie, I said, what'd you do? You done something. I was just running and they made me sit down. Are you supposed to run? No. What'd you do? I stood at the wall and looked at nothing. And that's what God does for some of us. He says, you sit down and look at nothing, Eric, for a while. Okay. Yeah. And then others, that don't work. He has to just get the board out. You know, whatever it is. But God is for us. We need to get that in our heart. Who can be against us? And here's something I say. Who cares who's against you? If God is for you, who cares who's against you? And most of us, bless our hearts, we do. Well, we just don't want them to be. Well, you know, we want to make amends and we want to have it right in our heart. But don't fret about somebody that's just not ready to make up and make everything right now. Pray for them. Give them time. And maybe it'll happen. You know, act godly toward them. But who cares? You know, if God is for you, you know you're right. March on with pride, you know, good kind of pride. Verse 32, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him for us, for prayer of faith, for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? All things. God will give you the desires of your heart if you're walking in the light you need to be walking in. That's His promise to you and me. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? That's me and you, God's elect. It is God who justifies. Who is He who condemns? Is it Christ who died and furthermore is also risen? Who is even at the right hand of God? Who makes intercession for us? You know what? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father after He died for us, and guess what's on His mind? Us! That's how much Jesus loves you. Every day that you need help, you are on His mind. Wow. This is a lasting love that lasts. It's real. It doesn't waver when you're going through things and you're on the mountaintop. He loves you the same. Verse 35, I love it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? In my estimation, the only thing that can separate you from the love of Christ is your own mind. It's your own mind. Nothing else in the world can. And it doesn't actually. It just feels like it does. You can't even do that. Because let me read and I'll prove it to you. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I am persuaded, and there's key words, verse 28, for we know. You need to know, and then in verse 38, I am persuaded. So you have to do that part. I can't do your persuasion. I can preach to you and give you truth, and then you either accept truth or reject truth, but the truth of the matter is Jesus loves you and there's nothing you can do about it. David said, I make my soul in hell and you're there. There's no place you can go. I think there's some of his kids chose to reject the saving grace of Jesus Christ and wound up in eternal separation from God. But I think it hurts his heart every day for eternity. Because it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So just get in your heart that he's for you. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, what's happening right now in your life, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth. It can't be too big, can't be too low. And here's me and you, nor any other created thing. How many knows you're a created thing? And not even you can separate God's love from you. You may not act, you may not feel it because you choose to wallow in whatever you're in or think that He doesn't. But I'm telling you, God loves you. That's a love that lasts. It never changes. Verse 39, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now go back to our text, and I want to help us grow just a minute. in John chapter 11, this still goes on today, just like it did when Jesus was walking the planet. It goes on in with His disciples and all. But He said, verse 6, John 11, so when He heard this, remember, the one you love is sick. So when He heard this, heard that He was sick, He stayed two more days in the place where He was. So here's somebody that Jesus said He loved. They said, the one you love is sick. And it says that Jesus says, you know, He loved Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. So, and when he finds out he's sick, what does he do? Does he say, oh, I need to rush over there? What does he say? Does he say, you know what, we at least, if I can't go, we need to send two disciples right now to go on over there? And I can just hear, because this is the way it is, and you can tell it in the text, this is the way it is. This is the way it is. The saints are talking. Oh, when the saints begin to talk, they lose the mind of God. Listen, saints, here's where I want to help us grow. We need to be careful about telling people what they need to be doing. People tell me all the time what I need to be doing. They do. And I know they love me and they mean well. But you can't find the mind of God for me like I can. And I'm telling you, as a leader, just get ready because they'll tell you what you need to be doing. Well, I'll tell you what you need to be doing. And here's what they said. I'll show you in a minute the scripture, but here's what they said. Well, he just needed to get on over there and pray for them people. Every time, I can tell you this, every time he came to town, Martha and them was right there to feed for him. Every time. Mary took some of that expensive oil and poured all over his feet and wiped it up for him. They're always feeding all those preachers that come over every time they're in town. It wouldn't hurt him to get off his lazy rear and go pray for Lazarus. Now, they didn't say it in the Oklahoma twang I just used. But the heart, that essence was there. You can take that to the bank. Because people want to tell other Christians what they need to be doing. Now, would it be for the glory of God? No, it would be to work against the glory of God for Him to go and pray or send His people at this time. Anybody want to come to the altar yet? I have to go to the altar, and I'll just make it public because we went over yesterday to a housewarming, and I told the woman of the house what she needs to be doing with her house. And my wife said, you don't need to be telling anybody what to do with their house. Guilty! So my apologies. Oh, that's between me and them. But I thought, isn't that something? I'm preaching on this stuff, and I'm still doing it. That's aggravating, Haley. That's just like, God, stupid. You're going to preach that tomorrow, and you're doing it today? And my wife, if she hadn't brought it to my attention, I'd have never even thought about it. I thought, wow, that's the same thing I'm preaching tomorrow. Forgive me, Jesus. So we want to tell you what you need to be doing with your stuff for Jesus. Well, it sounded good. It sounded good. You know what you guys up there on the band, you know what you need to be playing? This is what you need to be playing. You'd be playing some of that old stuff we grew up on. That's what you need to be playing. and all this stuff, and you know, we can't even sing along. That's what you need to be playing. Well, you just keep praying and singing what you feel led to sing. And then the church experts come along and say, you know, if you want to reach a certain crowd, you got to sing a certain song. And then I think about that when people come in and, oh, are we singing the right songs? And I thought, isn't that that's pitiful, isn't it? Because we're always trying to tell people what they need to be doing, what they need, where they need to go, and you need to be there because you know, you're this, and we do it. But he says to his guys, verse 7, then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. So two days later, his disciples said, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you're going there again? See, they're still not focused on what the issue is. Jesus knows this thing is with Lazarus is a God thing, and it's for the glory of God that I may be glorified through it, Jesus says. And so he knows, but they still don't know. And I don't know why he didn't just tell them. I'm like, come on, just tell them. They don't get it. Just tell them. And then that's what he's saying about me. He don't get it. Angels are saying, Jack, don't get it. Just tell him. Look, you just told them what they need to be doing with their stuff. They don't get it. Just tell him. He's going to go preach it tomorrow. Tell him. Why don't he just tell us? I don't know. Except I believe he wants us to find the mind of God for ourselves. That you and I are supposed to have an altar that we can hear the voice of God for ourselves instead of saying, you need to be here, you need to do that, I need to have this, and you tell it what I need to be, when I need to be it, and what I need to be for you, and me doing that for you. You know, that we need to get past that, is what I'm saying. And say, you know what, I've got a God that loves me so much that said I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's here with me. And he knows what I need, and the saints are listening, and whoever needs to be here and be what for me will be what they need to be when they need to be. And until then, I'm going to say thank you, Jesus, for enough grace to go through this. Thank you for enough strength to go through this. Thank you for enough love to go through this. Thank you for enough power to go through this. Thank you that I'm going to learn stuff through this lesson. I'm going to come out on the other side with the power because I am more than a conqueror through Christ. Next! Said, nobody called me. I miss church. Nobody even called me. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with calling. I'm just saying, let the Holy Spirit be the operator of that, not your and my feelings. You know, just let that. Here's what we should be asking. What do you want to do in this, Lord? I'm in this situation. What are you trying to teach me? What kind of glory can you get through this thing that I'm going through? That's what Jesus found, and it was beautiful when it was orchestrated, but everybody else is just talking. I mean, they're just talking. They're talking the talk. They're doing the saintly talk, and they don't have a clue. Verse 9, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? And if anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. I mean, no, Jesus is not talking about night and day. Jesus is talking about finding the light of God coming on to find the will of God and walking in that. Because that's where there's clarity, that's where there's power, that's where there's direction, that's where there's peace, that's where there's wisdom on doing what you need to do for Jesus Christ. And then when you do it, He says, I'm going to be glorified in it and through it, and people will come to Christ. And people will be built up. If we just simply let people do what God has called them to do. And I know that's hard for us. But if we don't, we're going to walk just like He did and His disciples did. Verse 11, these things He said after that, and He said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go now to wake him up. This is not unto death, and our friend Lazarus, now he sleeps, and I'm going to go wake him up. Does that sound like he's going to die to you? It's not unto death, and my friend Lazarus is sleeping, and I'm going to go wake him up. You know what I'm thinking? Why don't you just tell them? They're not getting it. Why don't you just tell them? And Jesus is saying, just because I'm not called to tell them. I'm called to receive things from the throne. They're called to receive their own things from the throne. Listen, church, the power of the church is where we're lacking. It's not in the saints not knowing what to do. It's not spending time so they know exactly what God wants them to do and walk in that. That's where the power is lacking. Listen, people that are in the will of God, and then they're excited about it because they've seen and they know what God wants them to do, you don't have to tell them what to do. They get up and do it every day. They do it every day. They're walking in their zone. You don't have to tell them. In fact, you try to tell them not to. Oh, you know what? You need to kind of quit all this and go over here. They look at you like you're crazy. You just need to mind your own business. And rightfully so, because they found the mind of God. They're walking in the power that God's given them. Instead of trying to say, if you don't do this and if you're not this for me, church, then I'm not going to be happy and I won't be in the will of God and nobody cares about me. Listen, if you're in that boat, you're in a pitiful boat. And you need to grow past that because you'll always have that hanging with you. The church is not your Savior. Are we here to edify and build each other up? Yes, but we're here to do that when God says it's time. That's one of the hardest things to do, isn't it, as a parent, to know when to help your kids and when to not help them. Once they get grown into a place, to me, that's one of the most difficult things there is in parenting, is knowing how much help to give them so they're not, you know, they're kind of like pushing them out of the nest, that they know that they're going to have to do this on their own. How many knows there comes a time when you and I can sit in the gutter if we want to sit home and do nothing? If you just want to sit home and do nothing, then the Bible says you don't work, you don't what? You don't eat. You know, and that's just find the mind of God, get up, do the will of God, and He'll provide all your needs, and your joy will come, and your strength will come, and He'll send whoever needs to send when they need to be there. But don't strain on that. Strain on the will of God. You know, focus on that. They're not focused at all, and they don't have a clue. Verse 12, His disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. We don't want to go over there. We could get stoned over there. We could be killed over there. He's sleeping. Why don't we just let him alone? You said he's not unto death. He's going to be okay. However, Jesus spoke of his death. Well, I thought you said it wasn't unto death. Well, it is. But you said he's sleeping. Well, I know, but he's going to die. But you said it wasn't unto death. Well, it is. But you said it wasn't. I know, but it is. But it's not going to be unto death. He's going to die, and the death is not going to hold him because we're going to get glory because God told me to go after he died, and it's going to be great. So why don't he tell them that? I don't know. Except for they're responsible for finding the glory of God for themselves. It's the same reason after you've told your kids about 10 times they don't need to do something, they do it anyway. You think, well, I told them, I'm not telling them anymore, just let them get hurt. You know, if it's not going to maim them or cut their head off or something, you just, you know, I told him to not ride his bike over there on that rocky place, so just let the little bugger fall. He's going to fall, but yeah, I told him. He don't get it. And then he comes crying in the house. Guess what happened to me? What I said is going to happen to you. That's what happened to you. We're just like those kids. I'm sure Jesus just gets a hoot out of us when... Dad's going to be preaching tomorrow about don't tell people this, and then he's going to go tell people what to do. Isn't that funny? Then Jesus said to them plainly, finally, Lazarus is dead. Okay, I just said it. He's dead. Now we're going to go wake him up. What? He's going to wake up the dead. Yep. It's going to be wonderful. Are you happy now? And Jesus said, you know what, guys? He says, I'm glad for your sake that I was not there, for you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go. I'm glad God worked it out this way, so now you can really see how powerful God is and what all His... I'm glad I wasn't there, and like you thought I need to be, and earlier, and all the saints of God thought I... So Thomas says, you can tell Thomas still don't get it. Thomas said, verse 16, who is called the twin, we call him Doubting Thomas, he said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. This is who Jesus led. Sometimes when you're trying to lead a group, just remember who Jesus led. He just tells them, Lazarus dead, and we're going to go for the glory of God, and this is for the glory of God, and I'm going to get glory from it. And Thomas says, oh yeah, well let's just all go die together then. It's kind of like, did you hear what he said? Did you just hear what Jesus said? Well yeah, we're going to all go die. No! And this is who Jesus led. This is who he led. And so, said Jesus came, he found him, that he's already been dead in the tomb 4 days. You think Jesus said, oh, 4 days? Ooh. Ooh. you guys were right. I should have come. I didn't know he was going to be dead 4 days. Is that what Jesus said? No, he's not surprised. He's not surprised at a horrific tragedy because he's been in at the Father's throne listening to what God was going to do in this situation. How many knows you and I can still sit at the throne or kneel at the throne of God and we can still find out what God's going to do in this horrific situation? If we'll listen, we've got to listen. It says, now Bethany was near Jerusalem about 2 miles away. Now here's the bonus round. Many of the Jews who had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother, they came. They're close. So there's a whole bunch of unbelievers there. This is the bonus round. He's going to get glory by raising him from the dead, and God's going to be glorified, Jesus is going to be glorified, and there's going to be a lot of conversions. A lot of conversions. And he says, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and she met him. And Mary was still sitting in the house. Martha said, first thing she does when she comes to Jesus, said, Lord, if you had been here, I sent you word, if you had been here, my brother would not be dead now. Martha's always getting on Jesus, isn't she? Lord, do you not care? I'm up doing all this by myself. Do you not even care? You'd think after a while she'd learn. You know, it's best not to get on Jesus because you don't really know what you're talking about. My brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Really? You really think that? She don't really believe that, does she? Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said, oh, I know. He'll rise again in the resurrection. At the last day, some glad morning. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I'm the resurrection of life. He who believes in me, though he died, he shall live. I'm the resurrection. I'm here. Do you get it? God said, go over there. I'm going to get glory and I'm going to glorify you. And do you get that, Martha? And she says, no, I don't. Why? Because all we've said around this house is, if he really loved me, he would be here. And that's ingrained in their brain. Can I tell you something? Whatever we start talking about gets ingrained in our brain and we really think that's the way it is because some other saint is agreeing with us. It must be God. I griped to this about, I told this to Martha and Martha agreed with me. It must be the Holy Spirit. I told her this is what's wrong with our church and she said that's the same thing I thought. So we're griping in agreement. It must be God. Verse 26, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of God, who has come into this world. And when she had said these things, she went away secretly and called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now, Jesus was not in town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews who were there with her in the house, comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly, went out, followed her, saying she's going to the tomb to weep there. Mary's been crying and crying and crying. And then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, she don't say, oh, we're glad you're here. First thing she says is what everybody in the house has been saying. And this is all they're thinking about. She says the very same thing. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's what everybody else is saying. That's what she's saying. Because everybody else is saying it. And that's all they've talked about since his death. And not one person in the house, the light didn't come on. You know why? Because they're in this concept of God would have worked in this way if it was really in his will and he would have done this. If he really loved me, he would have saved my brother. He would have come and he would have ministered to my brother. My brother was so good to him. If he had been here. And that's what they're constantly saying. And that's why everybody is saying the same thing here. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with him, her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. He's saying nobody gets it. Nobody in the house gets it. They're in this petty mode where they got to think, you know, if the church isn't this, or if they don't do this, if you don't come when I say, well, then you don't love me. They're all in this boat, and we're that way. And he says, don't do that. You can't find the mind of God when you get that poor, pitiful me, victim attitude. Know that you are a child of God, and man, God loves you, and nothing can separate you from the love of God, and all the power you need is there for you, and God will send you whoever He needs, whenever He needs, if you'll just trust Him and stop fretting and worrying and stressing. I know it's hard, but it's truth, and He shows us in the story. And it says, Jesus wept. Jesus cried. He's saying, man, nobody gets it. They're all dependent on this, and if this happening this way, when they just need to find the will of God, that's all they need to say. God, what are you doing in this situation? And other people could have known, I'm going to get some glory through this. And they may not have known all the specifics, but they could have known, just like Jesus, that God is in this thing, and I don't know what's going to happen, but God is in this thing, and you just watch, something good's going to come. They could have all known that. All of them could have known that. Jesus said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, oh, see how he loved him. They think he's crying because he loved Lazarus. He's crying because nobody gets it. They're so wrapped up in what he hasn't done for them that they don't get it. They don't get it. And they've missed the power of God by whining about the power of God because it wasn't done a certain way. Then some of them said, could not this man have opened the eyes of the blind, also kept this man from dying? See, it's everybody saying the same thing. If he had just been here. Mary, if he had just been here. The crowd, if he had just been here. Nobody got it. Don't be the person in the house that don't get it when you're going through something. Just say, a lasting love. God has got my best at heart, and he's taken me through this for some reason, and I know he's going to intervene somewhere, and God will get glory through this in Jesus' name. And bask in that God is coming through. Then Jesus, again groaning with himself, came to the tomb as it was a cave and strong, a stone laid against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister, said to him who was dead, Lord, by this time there's a stench. He's been dead 4 days. And now she's not only accusing him, now she's trying to hinder the power of God for what he's wanting to do at this time. Oh, you can't do that. Don't say, oh, Jesus, I didn't know it was 4 days. Put the stone back over there. Hurry. He didn't say that, did he? No. He said, roll the stone. This is why I've come. This is why I'm here. He says, take the stone away. And Jesus, verse 40, did I not say to you, if you believe, you would see the glory of God? They took the stone away from the place, and the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, and it's probably just in such a frustrated voice, I thank you that you heard me. You know, you're the only one that's heard me, but thank you for hearing me. And I know that you always hear me. Do you know that Jesus always hears? You know the Father always hears you? Do you really know that, or do you just doubt that sometimes? Because you're like Chicken Little, the sky is falling. I know that you always hear me because of the people who are standing by. I said this. I don't even need to be having this conversation, but I'm saying this for the people that's around here. They don't get it. They don't know why I'm here. They've just accused me of not being here at the time I need to be here and all. And I've come at your appointment time. It says that they may believe that you sent me. I'm saying this for their sake. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot, grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said, loose him. And let him go. Verse 45, then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. There's the bonus round. There's the bonus round. Now, here's what I want you to get. A lasting love, you know what, is always consistent. Even in your difficult times, God's love hadn't changed for you, and there's a purpose and a plan right in the midst of your difficulties. So look for that. Ask God, what are you doing in this? What do you want me to do right now? And send whoever you want to send. Bring into my life, in this case, whoever you want to send. But I trust you, Lord, to do that. I'm going to stop dictating what needs to be and who needs to go where and all. And then a love that lasts is always under the obedience of God. If you want a love that lasts, and parents, you know, some of you have got grown kids, you know that sometimes when you have an obedient love that's under a love that's under the obedience of God, you know that you're going to have to say something to your kids that they don't want to hear. Or to a relative, or a friend, or a drug addict, sister or whomever, that they don't want to hear it, but you know your love is under obedience and you're not going to be a part of that. They're going to make requests that you'll say no to, and it's hard, but it's obedience or love under obedience. That's what a lasting love is. It's under obedience. It's not about if I make you happy. It's not about if I make you sad. It's about being obedient to doing what God has called you to do, to help or not help. And it's a hard decision sometimes, but that's that a lasting love is one that's under the obedience of God. That's what Jesus modeled to us in this thing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for modeling to us that there's a love that when we don't feel it and when we're going through things, you said you'd work things out to our good if we'd just trust you and chill out and begin to to know that we're on a predestined trail that you've given us. And yes, we're going to have things come in our life, and yes, we're going to lose loved ones, and yes, we're going to go ourselves someday. But help us to begin to just rely on you and begin to enjoy where we are. With all of our things that we have to worry about and think about and deal with, help us, God, to have the joy of the Lord right where we are, because you said that we are more than conquerors through Christ. Not me and several others with me. It's just me and you. We are more than conquerors. Now, you'll send who I need, and you've sent who we need to the church, and you'll send who I need and who other people need at our appointed times of crises and difficult. But help us to come to the place where Jesus was when he said, you know what, this is all about the glory of God. No one else got it, but he got it. Help us to live those kind of lives where nobody else may get what I'm doing, but I get it. And I'm going to walk in pride, and the good kind of pride that says, be proud of what you're doing for God because he's proud of you. Help us to walk in that and rest in that and enjoy where we are. And when we're facing difficult situations, we'll just stop and ask, Lord, what do you want to do through this? What are you doing right here? What kind of glory do you want to get, or what do you want to accomplish? I'm with you, Lord. Just speak. I'm listening. And find that kind of peace and go through that. Whatever that is. With a confidence in a God that loves us and he'll be there for us. He's predestined this trail, and I'll walk it, I'll get through it, and I'll be better on the other side in Jesus' name. Amen. While Kristen's praying, heads are bowed, if you're here and you need Christ in your life, or maybe you just need to repent today, say, you know what, that's where I've been. I've been in the same boat. Just, you know, I can focus on what's wrong a lot more than I can focus on the will of God, and I want to change that around, you know. If you're here today and you need prayer, would you just lift your hand? I'd like to pray over you. Okay, thank you very much. Anyone else? Thank you very much. Anyone else? Thank you very much. Okay. Heavenly Father, for those that lift their hands today, I just pray over them that you'll help them find the mind and the will of God for their lives, right where they are. And their circumstance, they'll never look at it the same, because they're going to look at it through the light of God today. They're going to look at it in a totally different view today. They'll never be the same again as they look at this situation where they are. Never. Because they're going to quit looking at that, quit stressing, and they're going to start looking for the mind of God and saying, God, what are you doing here? And what should we be learning? Help me to be a Mary and not a Martha, stressed out and all. Help me to be set at your feet and feeding from the throne of God so I can get what I need. So that I can walk in peace and joy like I used to have. Grant that to them, Lord, for their honesty and raising their hand today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're a first-time visitor, I'd like to meet you right over here. We've got a gift for you. You guys have a great week. Love you. And